I have a simple message that really, that's what I live. This is like from my, I would say, walk with God, and that I want to share with you today. I called it living at His feet. Simple. Not complicated. But I realized how hard sometimes it can be. Living at His feet means full surrender. It means lowering ourselves. And how hard it is to surrender. How hard. It's not easy. It's easy to say, Lord, I surrender everything that I have, that I own. But when it comes to action, that's where things get tricky. And in the church, in the body, and if we are becoming one with Christ, this is our end goal, is becoming one with Him. And how do we do that? Do we leave a lot of ourselves, or we surrender? It's surrender. And how do we do that? Do we surrender everything? How do we do that? And ministry and all of this stuff, it's not our greatest calling. Our greatest calling is to live at His feet. And live at His feet, it means surrendering. It means not doing anything. I'm not saying just not serving everything. I'm saying the posture of our heart and of our life is at His feet. Surrendering to Him. This is our greatest calling. Our greatest calling isn't just to work for Him, but to be with Him. I come from maybe, I don't know if like we have a lot of Gen Zs over here, but I'm a Gen Xer. It's so crazy how one time, like at a point of my life, I was where you are. And it's hard to come into grips that I'm not that young anymore. I was like, I remember Gen Xers were like the cool kids and like the young. And like, I'm not anymore. But I'm young inside. And so when I gave my life to Christ, when I surrendered myself to Him, and in those days, it was everything about serving. Serving, this is your calling, is to serve. Your calling is to do things for God. And just, it was the main thing. And no, there was no emphasis, no point on intimacy, no point on just being with Him, just loving Him without doing anything. And I remember, like, because I've noticed, like, our generation, they're like workhorses. My generation. Just, we love doing stuff. It's good, but then it's not. It's hard for us to just sit still and enjoy presence. We always, like, I noticed myself, like, music is playing, like, okay, the lights, this needs to be fixed, this needs to, like, my mind was just, like, rushing like crazy. God is like, chill, relax, enjoy, sit still, enjoy, like, let me minister to you as you minister to me. Stop it. That's our generation, honestly. If you see, like, if you ever, like, probably, if Gen Zers, you probably know that's your parents. And we're just doing and working and working. And it's good. But that's not our calling. Our calling is to be with Him, with enjoy being in His presence. I want to preach today out of Luke 10:38-42. You might know what I'm gonna preach out of. It really, really reminded me again. I want this message to be a reminder. Like, a little, if you're strayed a little, moved to the left or to the right, just kind of in an alignment for you guys, for all of us, me included, including that His place at His feet is where we need to be. Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and disciples, I love Passion Translation. It describes perfectly. As Jesus and disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated with finishing numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me." Woman bossing Jesus. Oh my goodness. What a woman. And mind you that in those days, there was no cell phones. There were probably just those doves that carried the message, and it took him a while too. And you prepare everything from scratch, because when you start cooking, when the person arrives, cleaning and doing everything, and there was no refrigeration, everything had to be like slaughtered and prepared. And imagine that, you guys. That's why. And she was, "You should tell her to get up and help me." And I love in this translation how Jesus responds. The Lord answered her, "Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these distractions?" Verse 42, Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. To sit at his feet is a choice. It's not, God doesn't make us. He doesn't force us. He sees what we will choose. By choosing to sit at my feet, she is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Wow. That wrecked me. When I read it, that wrecked me. How he was so protective of her. Because she recognized something. As he came into her house, she recognized, this person, this guy is different. There's something on this guy. Because, you know, back then, some people were calling him Messiah, some master, some teacher. He wasn't the savior how we see him to be. He didn't die yet. And so when he came to their house, she immediately recognized something different. And she sat at his feet. Oh my goodness. And that's why I saw I paid attention. Like, I noticed the reaction of Jesus, how he was so overprotective, how he loves when we respond to him, when we choose him above every other distraction that we have in our life. And we have a lot. That's why he loves when we choose him. She could have just went with her sister, Martha, and start doing things or getting things ready. And he was just sitting by himself, waiting until everything got ready for him. But no, she responded. There is a spiritual independence that is consuming the church. We are so used to doing things our own way and are so busy with our lives. It's getting harder to trust God. When we spend less time at his feet, when we don't recognize him, what do we do when he enters the room? Do we continue doing our own mind, our heart, our things that we have to fix and do, like make everything perfect? Or do we just drop everything? Like, Lord, here I am. You're here. You're here. Because our spirit, it responds to him, to his spirit. Like, when he enters the room, have you ever noticed? Find worship or just you're doing your daily things and something hits. And something, the Lord, the closer we get to him, I start learning to pay attention to those things, to respond to him. And even in my daily routines, honestly. In church, it's easy. In church, there's an atmosphere, everything's corporate, it's easy to feel Him, it's easy to sit at His feet. But when you are in your daily life, and you, with chores and stuff, and then He enters, He steps in into your space where you are, what do we do? What do we do? It's just, where is our heart? Sometimes when He comes with His presence, what I mean by spiritual independence, it's like, I got this. I am strong. I don't need anything anymore. I am so mature. That's spiritual independence. And so when He enters the room, it's like something that, like, it feels like something that's competing with you. And that's the spirit of pride. It's hard to submit. It's hard to drop. Sometimes your pride, your things that the Lord is telling you to drop, to leave, to surrender, and you're holding on to them, it's hard. And that's why, that's what it's spiritual independence is called. You are good. Lord, I gotcha. But I can do things my own way. But it's harder, it's harder to trust Him. I've noticed in my life, the more I surrender, the more I sit at His feet, it's easier to trust Him. Why? Because I know Him, I start learning His nature even more. I trust His ways, I trust His words, I trust His heart. I get to know His heart. As I always say this, like, the more time you spend with somebody, the more you trust them. Sometimes you have, like, I know you guys have friends that you can give the keys to your house, and you know that they're not going to take anything out of your house without you knowing, because you trust them. Same thing is, like, God wants us to surrender and just to recognize and choose Him above all others. I know I'm preaching to a lot of people that love the Lord, that walk with Him. But I tell you this, there is still some moments, and we know them, that God is asking us to do. Because we can get so worked up in our lives, building our lives, building our ministry, or building our lives, like, personally. And can, it's just a reminder. I felt when I was praying in the preparation of this message, I felt like the Holy Spirit just, like, remind them, like, tell them, place at the feet of Jesus is the best place to be. And it's our heart posture. It's our position that we place ourselves. At His feet is a place of worship. When Mary was sitting at His feet, she was not only listening, she was worshiping. Because when we sit, we bend down, we worship. We kneel, we worship. And it's a heart that lives in surrender. It's like, I would say, for a young Christian that, or for a young kid, it probably will be, like, easier to comprehend. But to a mature person that's been with the Lord for a long time already, that thinks knows everything, it's hard. Like, I surrendered everything, Lord. I gave You everything. But I've noticed this one thing, that when you, I always say, like, how can you say when you know everything to a God that is, like, without the beginning, without an end, multifaceted? Like, do you know physics? Did you learn it? Are you, like, especially physics, like chemistry? Let's do chemistry. Like, the one that created everything. It's just, I watched this reel or something, post, that they're still discovering more revelation about, like, physics, about chemistry, how everything works. It's like, it's not just you've learned and you're done. I'm like, and we say, like, we're done. No, 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 no. With our spiritual growth, God requires more surrender. Every time I've noticed, I'm like, it's so interesting. And one point that I want to make, if you feel that you hit a wall in your relationship with the Lord, and it's nothing how it was before, you've checked all the boxes. You've checked, like, do I have unforgiveness? Do I have this? Do I have that? Went through encounter multiple times. I guess I know some people that they're very sensitive to the Lord. And I guarantee you that the Lord is asking you to surrender more of yourself to Him. How does that look like? You know, like, I've realized, like, when I'm praying and I tell Him, Lord, I surrender everything to You. He's like, no, I just need with that, like that thing. I'm like, Lord, I give You everything. I love You. I'm going to sit at You. It's like, thank You. But no, I want that. That specific thing. You're like, ah, Lord, why? God is very interesting how He works with us. He doesn't want all of us, so like at once. It's easy. It's like, no, I want this, that thing. Give it to me. Give it to me. Usually with me is dependence. Being fully dependent and trusting, like trust. Oh, I know, like those who walk with God knows. Trust is hard to surrender. For me, it was, anyways. Walking with the Lord, everything's good, and then something happens, and you're like, let me fix this, Lord, trust. And this Holy Spirit, trust me, surrender. And it's like, ah, my goodness. Surrender. And how we surrender, we sit at His, like the more we sit at His feet, the more we hear Him speak, the easier it will be. The easier, the process will be faster and easier. And yeah, it's worship. Do you worship from a distance or at His feet? Are you worshiping Him from a distance or are you worshiping Him from or at His feet? From a distance, it's corporate. It's like, Lord, I praise You, but Your heart is not in it. Lord, I love You, but there's just words. There's no action. What does that mean? I love You. It means surrendering, giving yourself to Him, submitting yourself to Him. Recognizing of what who He is and what He is in your life. From a distance, you just come and go without surrender and a fear of condemnation. That's worship from a distance. But at His feet, like the closeness. You guys, a lot of us are just afraid of being so close to Him. Because I know some things will be revealed, that He will reveal to us when we get super close to Him. But the veil is torn, everything. Like He made a way for us to sit at His feet. Like I've always, when I read this verse of Mary listening, I'm like, what were they talking about? Why was Jesus so protective of her? Just like, no, she's not going to do anything. She's just going to sit and listen to me speak. Wow. Why God loves surrender? Because I know throughout my life, when I surrendered parts of my life, I noticed that it pleased God tremendously. You might have noticed that too. Like those little things. We think that surrender is just this huge, huge, like massive thing that we have to do when we come into His presence. Because kneeling is surrender. Like your heart, I'm talking today about your life, your heart posture before the Lord. Our heart posture before the Lord. He doesn't ask, as I said, for like the whole, like, okay, now he got you captive. Like, I got you. You're nobody's, you're just mine. You're not even your own. And we're scared of that sometimes. But I've noticed when I surrender parts of my life slowly, and we all will go through that. You guys, we will all go through that. And it's amazing because I noticed that it pleased God tremendously. It pleased Him. How did I know that? My relationship and closest with Him increased. I had access to His heart I've never had before. And our goal is to know Him. Is to know Him. And if we know His heart, we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to live in anxiety. We're going to have closeness. And He is peace. He is love. That's who He is. My relationship and closeness with Him increased. Oh my goodness, I remember just things He was revealing to me about myself. A lot of us have self-doubt. A lot of us have a lot of fears and insecurities. When the Lord asks us to do certain things for Him, first we question, we look at ourselves, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, I don't want to do this, Lord, I can't. But in surrender, if you trust Him, surrender means trust. You know that is because He also reveals ourselves to us. We see ourselves completely different through His eyes. I'm sure when He was talking to Mary, He was talking to her about who He was and who she was. I'm just guessing, probably, most likely. Because when we meet Him, you guys, yes, we are in awe of Him. But have you ever noticed when you are with Him, what does He say? I remember one time I was worshiping, just fully, like in full surrender. And the Lord was just started singing over me. And I was going through some stuff. And personally, not sure of what was going on and who I was. And He just started singing. And the words He was singing over me, I know they were not, I would not sing this over me. I would not. And He was started singing songs of love and encouragement over my heart, over my life. And out of that experience, you guys, I left. I was like, Lord, anything. Ask me anything. I'll do everything for you right now. Because that's who God is. We come to serve, but then He serves us. That's why living at His feet is so important. Not just coming and going, staying, living. You have questions about your destiny, about your life. Come to His feet. Surrender yourself. You want to know the future? Come to His feet. Live at His feet. I learned, and I'm still living through it. I've noticed, the more I learn, the more I want to stay. The more I discover, the more I want to stay. And the interesting thing is, yes, you do things for God. You minister because, as Yelisei said, when you love God, you start loving His people. Because you start loving yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love anybody else. You're only going to be focused on yourself. And that's it. And selfish people, not good people. They hurt everybody else around them. So that's why living at His feet is very important, you guys. Just want to remind us, align us today of importance. Nothing makes him respond more to us when we choose worship him at his feet. Nothing. Nothing. Not your works. Nothing. When you choose to worship him at his feet, nothing makes him respond more. Because he loves, because you chose him. You didn't choose your problems. You didn't choose your situations or anything else. You chose him above it all. And he responds so quickly. So quickly with answers, everything. Like in his presence when you sit at his feet. That's why I think Mary realized. She probably asked him something. Just like, you know, she probably was a talker. And loved to talk. She's like, okay. And she responded, she said, and she was learning from the master. But you guys, we have 24/7 access to him right now. Mary just had that one encounter with him, which was amazing. Let's not be Martha's. let's be Mary's that chose, like when he comes into the room, when we feel him, we respond to him immediately. In the car, at your workplace, in your schools. Oh my goodness, this is so powerful for the young people, you guys. Especially as the school year starts, you can be at his feet in your classroom. You know that I've talked about it. Like we are carriers of God. God lives inside of us, but how we bring him out? How? Don't be afraid to do it. I remember I was in school one time when I was in school. That's when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit and I was just like on fire. And I was sitting in the classroom. I don't remember which one. And just felt compelled to pray in the spirit, like in tongues. Started praying. And this girl next to me, she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, I just got the Holy Spirit. I want to test it out, but I'm praying. She's like, okay. She just gave me the crazy look. This girl is crazy. And then she, after the class, she comes up to me. Like she's like, can you explain what were you talking about the Holy Spirit? So I started telling her. It's like, can you pray for me? Yeah. And so that gives you boldness. First of all, it prevents you from doing naughty things. Yes. But it's amazing. It changes like the classroom, the atmosphere. It's just when we choose him. So don't be scared. Don't be afraid, especially in the classrooms, in your workplaces. When you feel him, if you feel compelled to minister to somebody, share the gospel, do it. Because that's the Lord. That is the Lord. How do we respond? How will we respond? Or we just like start worshiping. A lot of the times I just, in my classroom, I would just worship. Because I know I could not disrupt the, you know, teachers and stuff, what was going on in the classroom. But I would worship, just like giving praise to the Lord. And I remember this one time, I had people that were just like, not interested in God, but I didn't share a lot. I believe, yes, you share, but you mostly you basically how the Lord moves, you show by action. Sometimes we think, oh man, I am like, this person will not gonna be listening to me because I wasn't the best example. But I noticed that when you walk with him and he wants to release certain things, when you feel him in the room, in the classroom, in your car, whatever, in your workplace, it means it's for something. It's not just for you. It's also for something. God wants to establish something in the atmosphere. But especially when you're in your own car. I remember, like, Lord, please don't do this anymore with me when I'm driving. It's dangerous. I just got wrecked in the car. I had to pull over. I could not even drive. Like, yeah, but it's amazing. Also, number two, I want to share about this. Like, first, worship is important. Worship, it means surrender. So you guys, when you worship, it's not just songs. It's a life full of surrender. It's not just songs. We think worship is just, I'm worshiping Jesus. I'm singing songs to him. But also, when you sing songs to him, make sure that you mean what you say. It becomes so,
just one of the things that we had to do. I'm singing song to the Lord. I surrender all.
I surrender, but I really don't. So when we do really worship with songs, mean it. But it's not just that. It's a life of surrender. This is what worship means. It's surrender. I bow, I worship, I surrender. All that I have, all that I am to you, my Lord. So that's what Mary did. She just sat, she stopped everything in her tracks, and she knelt at his feet. She's like, okay, here I am, Lord. Living at his feet is a place of learning. When you are at his feet, I love this, you are looking up at him. You know, like teacher and student. I want to make this clear. When we are sitting at his feet and we are learning, we're listening to him speak, when we responded to him and let him speak into our lives, you are not his equal. You are a student at the feet of your Lord. I've a lot of Christians, especially nowadays, saying that I am equal to God. I am a God. That is a spirit of pride. I know one person that said that once. We all know who he is and where he is right now and what he's doing. Yes, we are co-heirs with him. We are seated with him. He didn't shed his blood for nobody's. I'm not saying that we are just dirt and speck. We are his sons and his daughters, yes. But knowing our place is crucial. He is God and I am not. Psalm 103. And realize what this really means. We have a privilege of worshiping Yahweh, our God. He is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. We are what we're made for him. We are not gods. We are his creations, his sons and his daughters. We are co-heirs with him. Yes. Amen. We are seated with him, which is a privilege, you guys. Huge privilege. Angels don't sit beside him. We do. But for us, we need to know it's the hard posture of who we are. We're easily submitting. We're easily falling on our knees and worshiping him and giving him all the glory. We're easily saying, Lord, you know best. You are the Lord of my life. You are the God of everything that I have. It's because of you, not because of me. Knowing that is very important. Putting everything in its place. We can never be too mature to sit at his feet. Ever. Ever. It's like being continual children that are always excited to learn. I've shared this before, that the most mature in the spirit is the humblest before the Lord, the meekest before the Lord. Moses, remember Moses? Like led the whole nation, a whole nation out of Israel. Spoke to God, like face to face.
And he was called the meekest person, the meekest, the humblest person. That is what maturity, true maturity is in the spirit. You can say, I never loved learning. I never liked school. But did you have a subject? Did you guys have a subject in school that you loved learning about? Those who are still in school or done with school? Imagine you are sitting at the feet of wisdom itself and the one who created the universe and all of those complex things. I can only imagine what Mary was listening to. But through the Holy Spirit, we have full access to the treasures, the wells of knowledge and experiences that we are open to receive. It's a privilege to learn from the Lord. So you guys, please, I beg of us, let's not be too mature. Let's be willing to learn. Let's be willing to submit. Let's be willing to say, yes, Lord, I trust your ways are better than mine. Your thoughts are better of me and everything else. I trust you. I want to learn from you. Mary instantly recognized who came to her house and chose him above all other distractions. When you recognize him in his presence, what will you do? What will your response be? That was my thing. Like, Lord, I don't want to miss a moment of your visitation. I really, really don't. Because we can get so distracted, like with things that I know, experiences, maybe with some people, just so much pain, so much disappointment. And when he comes, you just not paying attention. You're just like dismissive. It's important. Like Mary recognized it. I don't know what her background was, what she was going through, but she realized that the master, the presence entered the room. The creator entered the room. Wisdom entered the room. And she started listening to him speak. Lord, I let me never be too mature. Keep me humble and make my heart respond to your presence until I live. Some people believe they're not going to die. It's okay. To each his own. But until I leave this earth, let's put it that way. Until we leave this earth and be with the Lord, like, Lord, I want to stay surrendered. I want to live a life of full surrender. I don't want anything holding me from sitting at your feet, to learn from you, to experience your presence. This is where it's at. This is where we're meant to be, church. This is where we're meant to be. This is where we're meant to live. Martha or Mary, both are important. But when the King of Kings enter your house, you better drop what you are doing. Both are important. Martha's are important. They are. I'm not bashing on Martha's right now. If it wasn't for Martha, they wouldn't have eaten anything. They probably stayed hungry if it weren't for Martha. Probably the house would have been dirty and all that stuff. But what Jesus wanted, just sit. Then you can go and do stuff. Sit at his feet. Listen to him. Drop everything. When he comes, stop. With the church, sometimes when his presence comes, drop it. Come, run, drop on the floor. Just don't lose this moment. Don't lose it. Church, don't lose it. It's important. Both Martha is important. Spirit of Martha or character of Martha. Mary is important. But when the King of Kings enters your house, drop everything. Drop what you're doing. In your life, when you feel Him coming and just whoosh, drop everything. Drop all the unforgiveness. Release it. It's not worth it to holding on to pain, anxiety, fear. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Release, give it, surrender to Him. The King is in the room. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be awesome. That's our daily life, you guys. This is our daily life. Giving and surrender. It's possible to be busy for Jesus. I would say, no, busyness in ministry to the Lord must never replace intimacy with Him. I want to touch a little bit on this one. Busyness, like busy doing in ministry to the Lord, must never replace intimacy with Him. If you feel, especially those of you, me included, if your ministry takes more of your time than your intimacy with Him, not good. Not good. Not good. I will say it again. Not good. You're doing this for yourself. You're not doing it for Him, because ministering to Him comes out of sitting at His feet. Of when you minister to Him in intimacy at His feet, you sit close to Him, and then you go and minister, do ministry, whatever, anything in the house of the Lord. It's possible to be busy for Jesus, but not to be close to Him. Possible. I've seen it. I've been there. I was that person. So busy doing, and you think you're close to God, especially those who do like spiritual things, like worship, speaking, prayer, like teams and all of that. Because when you pray, when you minister, when you worship, yes, the presence of God comes through you, but it doesn't stay. It passes through you. And it gives an illusion that you are getting filled, that you have some sort of a closeness with Him. But you're not. It passes through you. And then you become empty. You're empty. You need to be filled. And if you're not filled and you're doing stuff, what's happened? What's going to happen? You will become bitter. You'll become resentful to what you're doing. Then burning everything else that comes afterwards. I was there. I'm speaking from personal experience. And when the Lord knocked on my heart, it's like, Sveta, what are you doing? Who are you doing this for? You, Lord. It's like, no, you're not. I don't need this. I just need you. I just need you. Will you choose me? Will you just be with me without anything? I was at this one conference one time. And there was beautiful worship, beautiful conference. And pastor comes up on the stage after worship set. And he says one thing that wrecked me, and still, like, I still remember this and wrecks me every time. He says to this guy and his team, to this guy that was hosting the conference, he was like saying, I love that you don't worship, but you worship Jesus. Oh, no, that you don't serve worship, you serve Jesus. Something that more. So we can get so caught up in ministry and doing things for God that we forget the main thing. We start worshiping perfection, like what Martha did, like making everything perfect, setting everything up, but not recognizing the person in the room. Serving matters, ministry matters, but the source of our strength is time spent with Him. That's it. the source of everything is the time spent with Jesus. I've learned this the hard way, you guys. I've almost burned out. I was at a moment when I felt like spiritual attacks and all of that stuff. At one moment I was like worshiping and just anxiety could come over me. I'm like, what is this? It's just because I was moving out of my own strength, not of closeness and intimacy with the Lord. And it's possible. It is. As I said, you can't. It's possible to be busy for Jesus, but not to be close with Him. Because I was confusing, I don't really know, or just like was kind of a caught up in all of this ministry stuff. That when I was worshiping Him on, with Him on stage, I was worshiping out of emptiness, not out of fullness. And that dried me up quickly, like so quick. And I repented. I'm like, Lord. And you know, repentance, it's not like some people are afraid of repentance. They think that it's just like the God, like God is going to whip your behind like crazy. And you're going to just suffer and just like mourn and groan. No, repentance is beautiful. Repentance is like, Lord, it's just the Lord is just, you know, like those who have kids. I have kids. And when they ask for forgiveness, I'm happy. I'm joyful that they, and I don't have to beat them. No, I've never beat them. I grew up in a culture like my time, we're like, psh. Even after you said sorry, you're like, well, so you mean it, so you know, psh. So extra. And so I was afraid of that. Like when I thought of repentance as of something horrible. But when I had my own kids and when they came to me, when they did something bad and they said, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, so you got a lesson. You know you shouldn't do that. Yes. That's it. Go. And I'm like, my heart is happy. But listen, I'm a parent here on the earth. Imagine the Lord, our Creator. He's so happy when we come to Him with repentance. When we recognize our wrongdoings and that we missed a step. Shouldn't have done, shouldn't said that. Should have done it, shouldn't have went there. Yeah. And so it's important. It's very important, you guys. Living at His feet is your source of strength in trials. It's a place of healing and forgiveness. I'm just going to touch on this a little bit and I'm going to wrap it up. At His feet is your source of strength in trials. If you're going through some trials, hard times, at His feet is a place of healing and forgiveness. He forgives you. You forgive others. He gives you strength. He gives you strength to move forward, to do certain things through hard things, something. It's only at His feet. We were created with the will. We know that, right? Where God gave us the ability to make choices. He gave us this. Choice to ability, a will. We can say yes, we can say no. To love, to obey, to resist, or to pursue and to pursue desires. And I'm gonna finish with this: the greatest gift we can give God is our full surrender. The greatest gift is where we surrender. We sit at His feet and just, Lord, speak to me. Speak your words of love. Speak your words of life to me. Speak into my life as I surrender before you. Okay, let's all rise. I just want to, maybe if you guys need a prayer, you haven't been living at His feet. Just running around, doing things for Him, but not being with Him. If you need that, a prayer or some like encouragement or like this, I would say, reminder with the prayer, you can raise your hand or you can come up front. And also, I just want to open up to those that want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a very important thing too. You can also, but for that, you can come up front. We'll pray for you. Oh, Jesus, I just want to bless everyone and release the Spirit of closeness, of intimacy in this room, in a greater measure. In a greater measure, Lord, if we have left that, please take us back. Pull us back into being at your feet, to learning from you, to worship you alone. We surrender fully to you. Because a place of surrender is a wonderful place to be. We want to recognize you. We want to recognize your voice and choose you above all others. Tell him that. I know if you've said that to him, say that again. He loves the, because our words, they're very important. It's not just our thoughts, our voice. You're like, God knows my heart. He wants to hear it. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your voice. You speak like, God, I choose you above all others. I choose to sit at your feet and mean it when you say it. I choose to learn from you, from your voice, from your lips. Other people's revelations are just confirmations to what you said to me already, to what I have experienced already. Because your voice is the most important voice in my life, the most. All other voices are just confirmations or just simply distractions. I choose you again and again and again. Only you, Jesus. Only you, my Lord. I bless this house. I bless your people, Lord, into pursuing you greater and more than they ever had before. And the deep desire to sit at your feet, to live there, to abide there, to look at you, to behold you, and to learn from you. Okay, do you guys, I just want to release, if someone doesn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, I've saw maybe someone raised their hand. No? Okay. Everybody's got it? Awesome. Oh, Jesus is wonderful. Holy Spirit, you are wonderful. You are amazing. So I bless you guys. I bless you, family. And just have a wonderful week. Bless you guys. Amen.